The creation of the human beings who are of one species only and who stock their eatables in the belly. It's an interesting description of the human beings. They stock their eatables in the belly. They have a go down. It starts at the mouth and then the go down really goes down into the belly. So the creation of the human beings who are of one species only and who stock their eatables in the belly is the ninth in the rotation. In the human race, the mode of passion is very prominent. Humans are always busy in the midst of miserable life, but they think themselves happy in all respects. Purport. The human being is more passionate than the animals, and thus the sex life of the human being is more irregular. The animals have their due time for sexual intercourse, but the human being has no regular time for such activities. The human being is endowed with a higher, advanced stage of consciousness for getting relief from the existence of material miseries. But due to his ignorance, he thinks that his higher consciousness is meant for advancing in the material comforts of life. Thus his intelligence is misused in the animal propensities, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, instead of spiritual realization. By advancing in material comforts, the human being puts himself into a more miserable condition, but illusioned by the material energy, he always thinks himself happy, even while in the midst of misery. Such misery of human life is distinct from the natural comfortable life enjoyed even by the animals. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Please join me. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satanine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivash Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Arvakshutastu navama kshataeko viduninam rajodika kamapara dukecha sukamanina. The creation of the human beings who are of one species only and who stock their eatables in the belly is the ninth in the rotation. In the human race, the mode of passion is very prominent. Humans are always busy in the midst of miserable life, but they think themselves happy in all respects. After describing different creations of bodies, we now arrive at a description of the human body. Just before this text, we heard how the goat, the buffaloes, the mule, the ass, and wild cows with only one hoof have been created, and how then tigers, fox, cats, even monkeys are described here. The kapi in Sanskrit have been created, and then the birds. We come now to the in this rotation, which is the ninth creational circle, if you so want, to the human beings, who have two characteristics according to the Bhagavatam. First of all, they like to eat, and so nicely described, stock their eatables in the belly. And the second is, the human beings are always in the modes of passion. Now it's very interesting that when you hear about the creation, and more particular the creation of the mind, the Bhagavatam says that the natural situation of the mind is to be in sattva. Sattva is that peaceful mode of nature where you can come to the realization of subjects. And if you go to spiritual life, the sattva gun is very, very helpful to create your spiritual knowledge as well, or your spiritual life as well. So originally the mind is not described to be in passion, but in sattva gun. It's the intelligence of the human being which is responsible for this huge import, or this huge and constant attack of the mode of passion on the human being. Yesterday we were in Delhi, New Delhi, and we had just been out in Braj for more than 4 weeks, and we entered into this town which bombarded us with a very passionate atmosphere. We were really accosted, and in this way we felt some waves in our consciousness, not so very, very happy. So the mind, when it is becoming joined with the intelligence, stops its peaceful function for our benefit, but becomes very much agitated, very much moved, very much identified, and starts to work in two functions through which the mind entangles us in material life. This is sankalpa and vikalpa. You accept things in this world and you reject things in this world. When you go with a mind which is out of its natural sattvic situation through the world, you will see how your mind thinks, oh, I like this, I don't like this, this person looks interesting, this person looks uninteresting, this is my plan, and this is my not so nice, my loss really at this moment. So by joining up with the mode of passion, the mind becomes disturbed. I would like to give you an example, and because I don't want to embarrass you, I will embarrass me. The devotees kindly asked me to lead kirtan this morning, an activity which is one of my favorite activities. I'm not very capable. I'm not like Indra. I'm more like his his frog, who likes to open his mouth and make musical sounds. So I was then on Kirtan procession, and I was very, very happy. I'm in Vrindavan, I'm chanting Radha and Krishna's names, devotees are with me, I'm in the best situation. All of a sudden, my mind joined with the mode of passion, and I thought, I hope my shoes are still at the place where I put it. After all, we are in India, and nothing is guaranteed, even simple things like putting your shoes somewhere might be, you know. So while I was dancing happily, I saw how the mind was starting to invade my thought it oscillated, it began to move back and forth. And then I came to the place where the shoes were previously, and of course they are not there any longer. So my mind started to lament, "Oh, India, oh India, you India, you India." And I began to understand, wait a minute, we are here in a kirtan, come back, you foolish mind. Shoes you can get everywhere, but to chant in the association of devotees the names of Radha and Krishna, that is a rare gift bestowed upon you in an undeserved way. Now, please give your best. And I noticed how the mind became satisfied. But again, as I was passing this the spot where my shoes used to be, the mind began to intensely lament, "These are not ordinary shoes. They are the best of German production. You will never get it in India. And you will, your feet will hurt with these Indian plastic shoes. You will get an infection and die in New Delhi while you try to drink." So I said, "Mind, please leave me alone. I want to chant now." And in this way, I'm very embarrassed. I should not sit on this elevated seat. I'm very neophyte in my spiritual practices. But then I decided, okay, enough. You have to give a class today. Just stop it, mind. If you don't stop it, I will not eat for 10 days. And then you will scream like anything. So then the mind became, Okay. The mind, in other words, when it joins with the material energy, begins to make plans for miserable material existence, and you lament as a result. This is a very important instruction for those of us who like to stay in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the spiritual place. It's a place where Srimati Radharani walks, and Krishna secretly, so that Radha doesn't see, is before her sweeping the forest path so that she will have all comfort. It's a place where everyone loves Krishna. It's a place where devotees go since time immemorial to develop love of Krishna. But the foolish mind, so full of material impressions and so much disturbed by this drive of the mode of passion, always connects us with the material life, even in Vrindavan, if we are not careful and don't understand the activities of the mind. See, this mind is really, when it's not controlled, our worst enemy, by making us absorbed in the temporary illusory existence. I would like to show you this with a little demonstration Because I know if you forget everything in this lecture, you will not forget this thing, which I will show you now, and at least one point you have to take home. See, the material energy, by definition, is constantly changing. It is not permanent like the eternal soul, which is permanent. The material energy is described as constantly in change. This has been seen also by philosophers. It's not something which only we say. A philosopher called Heraclitus has said, you can never step in the same river again, because when you step again into the river is no longer the same, it has changed. Shukadev Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj how the material energy is constantly changing. This means kingdom changes, the movements of the atoms change, universes come and go, and so on. But this mind makes us attached to one particular temporary manifestation, for instance, our shoes, or our families, or our homes. In this way, it is a little bit like this. See this incense, as it is lit by the sun. There is constant smoke pouring forth from this incense, and the smoke constantly changes its forms. Sometimes you might see the face of a tiger in this smoke, sometimes a moving locomotive, sometimes a pair of Birkenstock shoes. And the mind, foolish mind, begins to single by the process of sankalpa and vikalpa, something out of this smoke, this changing material manifestation, and become attached to it. But it always changes. And in this way, because you cannot keep anything and you cannot control anything, you will always suffer. You see, I can't hold the smoke. I can't control the smoke. It does whatever it wants. I mean, it doesn't want anything. It does whatever it does. So in this way, we can't control the material universe. We can't own anything in this material universe. And it is a very, very sad human life, which becomes attached to material goods or material positions and so on and so forth. Once you understand that this material energy is constantly changing and it is not under your control, and only by the mind which becomes disturbed by the mode of passion that this material energy move in an attached and miserable way. You can detach yourself from it. This is especially important during your spiritual practice, like chanting. We hear that there is in chanting the holy name, there is this thing called pramada, or inattentiveness, or being distracted. As you sit down to chant and concentrate on Krishna, your mind, in the beginning, will start to become attached to the smoke. Oh, this, and your shoes, and your wife, and your plans, and your position, and what did he say, and what did he really mean when he said it? In this way, you become pulled by your mind into the smoke of illusion, the smoke of material attachment. Next time your mind comes, you can even practice during this lecture, because during this lecture your mind will also go, what do they serve for prasadam, please, today? And so on. You know, you must learn to tell to the mind, don't become attached to smoke. It's not worth it. It's not good. It is not helpful. It puts you in a miserable, lamenting state. This was understood by a Brahmana in Avanti, who had been a very stingy Brahmana. He was so miserly, in other words, that he would not even supply his family with enough money. As a result, he was not a favorite of his family and relatives. When, due to the influence of unbribable time, everything was lost by the Avanti Brahmana, his family members were very unkind to him. Thieves had stolen the property of the Brahmana. He had lost it in various ways, and he was now poor. The relatives rejected him. His only means of income seemed to be to become a vairagi, a renunciant, and beg. But people gave him such a hard time that they spit on his food, they bound him up, and slapped him in the face, and told him, you have only become a vairagi because everything is stolen. Now you want to cheat us. No, they said, nothing was stolen. You keep it in some secret place, and now you want more by begging from us poor people. So the life of the Avanti Brahmana was very miserable. One day, he sat down to eat a meal which some kind, compassionate people had given him. And as he sat down to eat it, some uncivilized person passed water on his meal so that he couldn't eat it. Imagine you are hungry for a week and you finally sit down, and then your meal is spoiled in such a way that you cannot possibly eat it. How sad you must feel. How much your mind must rebel. So the Avanti Brahmana at that time started to sing a song. He said, who is the cause of suffering? Is it other people? Or maybe the cause of sufferings are the planet, bad astrology, Rahu in the ascending phase. I'm not an astrologer, so something Rahu. Is it this or is it that? And he came to the conclusion, a very good conclusion. No, the cause of the suffering is the mind becoming attached to smoke. He didn't say it like this. He said, the cause of the suffering is the mind, whose powers are fearsome. They are almost godlike. Then finally he broke out in a song which sannyasis sing. Etang sastaya paratmanishtam. This song says, now I have enough of this mental life. I have enough of this. I want to fix my mind on the sevaya, Mukunda sevaya, the lotus feet of the service of Lord Mukunda. This way, follow the spiritual path. My dear devotees, this is not only a song for sannyasis, this is a song for all of us. You should think, alas, alas, I have fallen into this material world. And my mind, foolish mind, has told me to enjoy this world in a passionate endeavor. I have lost the lotus feet of Krishna. I have lost the most valuable. I'm now actually engaging in what is not valuable. Raghunath Das Goswami, with great lamentation and great determination, he says, "Alas! My mind is attached to name and fame, that I'm praised by others. But am I not like a fool who takes his bath in the trickling urine of a donkey?" Hare Krishna. "I should go to the waves of the nectarian ocean of Radha and Krishna's pastimes." This determination is necessary if you wish to become a sincere sadhaka who can follow the path of eternity. Who follows Srila Prabhupada, you need to say no to the mind as it becomes attached to smoke, the illusions of this world through the mechanism of sankalpa and vikalpa. This is very important. Only when you can lament your fallen situation, only when you can sincerely understand that you are here in this ocean of birth and death as the result of the uncontrolled mind, then you will be able to call out to Krishna in sincere eagerness. For Krishna consciousness, there is only one prize. It is your eagerness, your lolyam, to have it. Only when you perform sadhana with this additional ingredient, this additional spicing of your psychology, this eagerness to have the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, even though you may feel yourself unqualified, then Krishna comes. There's a very nice song which we heard in Syamdak. The song explains why Krishna waited so long before he saved Draupadi from her miserable situation. I think we also sometimes say, I'm so long in this movement now, I'm trying. Why does Krishna wait? Why doesn't he come immediately to rescue? He has said, "Naang tishtami vaikunthe yoginam hridayeshuva mat bhakta yatra gayanti tatra tishtami narada." I'm not there where the yogis practice, and I'm not in their hearts. I'm not in Vaikuntha even. I am there where my devotees chant the holy name. So you may say, "Krishna, you have said you are there where my devotees chant. I'm chanting. Where are you, please? Why have you not followed your own words in Shastra? You are even not willing to do that." So to this question, Lord Krishna answers, this is a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, "Oh, my dear devotees, who follow the process of Naam Kirtan, chanting my holy names, I'm not immediate, when my devotees chant, I am there, but I'm not showing myself to them. In this way, my devotees will humbly think, 'Alas, alas, I am an offender. That's why Krishna doesn't come. I am attached. That's why Krishna doesn't come.' Therefore, my devotee will become very humble. And by this humility which awakens in the heart of the devotee, I am attracted, and he will develop a devotion which is full of brilliance." Brilliance means very good, brilliant devotion. So sometimes Krishna may let you wait. He lets you wait So that you can become humble and understand, alas, I'm so much in the smoke of my mind. This is not good. But there is another, there is a very nice story which I want to tell you. It is really nice. You will like it very much hearing it in Vrindavan. When Draupadi, the great Krishna Bhakta, whose name is even Krishna with a long A, the fireborn Draupadi was attacked in the court of the Kauravas, and the Kauravas tried to see her naked by telling their Maharatis to strip her. Strip her is not nice. To declothe her, to take the clothes away from her. Draupadi was crying. So at that time, Krishna was sitting with Rukmini in Dwaraka, and they were playing chess. All of a sudden, Rukmini noticed that Krishna was distraught. He didn't focus any longer on the chess game. Most probably, Krishna made some moves which he usually didn't do, or which were maybe even in his disadvantage. Rukmini said, "My lord, you are thinking of something else." "Oh, nothing," said Krishna. Tried to play, but again he couldn't play chess. "My lord, you are thinking of someone." "Yes," said Krishna. "A very great devotee of mine is in trouble, in Draupadi." "Then you should simply go there. It's too far and it would be too slow." "No, no, you have Daruka and the very, very swift horses amongst the mega pushpa. You go with Daruka." "No, it's too slow." "No problem for you," said Rukmini. "Just call Garuda, who can fly like lightning. It would be too slow. I wouldn't reach. I'm here in Dwaraka. It's in Hastinapur." Rukmini said, "Then, my dear lord, take the Paramatma airways. You are..." I'm sorry. I'm thinking at this moment of flying back to Germany, so my mind again became attracted to the smoke. Back to the subject. "You are Paramatma. You are already there in Hastinapur. You are in her heart and you are in the hearts of everyone else. You just go there, like not even go there, you just be there." But Krishna said, "Too slow, would be too slow." Meanwhile, Draupadi was growing more and more desperate. And she came to the point where she called out, "Hey Govinda! Hey Gopal!" and cried tears. At that moment, Krishna said, I'm going on the royal road of her tears. This will be fast enough." And he was there, and you know what he did? He saved Draupadi in this very amazing way by just appearing personally there and extending the cloth which this demonic people took to an unlimited degree until the whole palace was stuffed. They were almost suffocating from zari material. So he saved. When Draupadi started to prepare the road in which the Lord very quickly comes, the road of her tears. This is another way of saying eagerness. You have to add eagerness to your sadhana. Otherwise, If you're not eager, and if your mind is the opposite of eager, if your mind is smoky, Hare Krishna, absent-minded, not there, then Krishna may let you wait. Not cruelly, not uncaring for you. No, Krishna may let you wait so that you wake up and begin to say, Alas! Oops, I have even written it down how to say it correctly. when you then begin to say properly, Oh Krishna, Oh, and you have this humble statements. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this lamentation, which is sincere sadhaka, who understands his smoky problems, how he says, Alas, how unfortunate I am, having fallen into this insurmountable ocean of material existence. I'm being thrown here and there by the violent waves of my wicked, wild desires. Krishna. At various times, I'm being attacked by the crocodiles and violent creatures of lust, anger, and so forth. I cry miserably at my helpless condition, but I do not see any hope for my survival. What should I do now? What should I do now? How will I be delivered? I don't see any solution for my dilemma. Alas, alas, I am most unfortunate. Hare Krishna. By this humble wake-up call, this humble call of the devotee to Lord Krishna, where he honestly submits his mistake before the Lord's lotus feet for the kind judgment for the Lord. At this moment, this humility starts, which is the beginning point or the turning point of your perception. Yes, it's not only the turning point of your life, it has to be again and again a turning point of your perception. When you are in Vrindavan and you live on the surface of Vrindavan, where you think of shoes and loy bazaar purchase and politics and unpleasurable or pleasurable things of this world, where you're on the surface, you should make a turning point. Alas, I came to walk the paths through which Radharani has walked with her dear associates. I came here to find the treasures of bhakti. I came to enliven my sleeping heart. But what is my mind doing? Smoke, smoke, smoky illusions. So the moment you become humble, then you will find a turning point in your perception, and all of a sudden you will feel, this is a different atmosphere. It is highly spiritual. You will become awake in your spiritual perceptions for the wonder which Vrindavan has for you. I would like to tell you how this change in the perception can become possible. It's possible by Krishna's yoga maya energy. I think you have heard, when Krishna left Vrindavan, he submerged the devotees of Vrindavan in an ocean of separation. And in Prakat Vrindavan, they were always lamenting. The boys, cowherd boys, lay in the valleys, pale, hardly breathing. There was a channel of tears. We spoke at this in Giriraj Govardhan, coming from the house or the palace of Nanda and Yashoda to the Yamuna. A channel of tears. Ooh, so much separation. The trees of Vrindavan being separated from the Krishna, who sometimes would touch them and even sometimes climb with his soft lotus feet on them. These trees who were living only for the moment that Krishna would pass and touch their shadow. Of course, climbing would be best, but sometimes Krishna would touch their shadow only. These trees, same trees, lost all their leaves due to separation. There's another story. By this strong mood of separation, which is again a feeling of eagerness, "Oh Lord, where are you?" The Brijvasis were joining Krishna in the Aprakat Leela, and they were with him there. But those who came to Vrindavan and saw the Prakat, that is the manifested Vrindavan, were shocked when they saw the state of the Brijvasis. They were shocked. So Krishna sent Uddhava there, and he wanted Uddhava to see his relatives and also the gopis, and he sent a message to them. But when Uddhava came, Krishna thought, "Let Uddhava see the splendor of my Braj." And then when Krishna thought like this, Yoga Maya covered the particular manifestation of Braj, which was merged in the grief because of separation from Krishna. And that Braj which underwent the Sanchari Bhavas of disinterest, strong depression, and humility and Dainya. Instead, Yoga Maya showed Uddhava a typical evening in Braj in which Krishna was present, charming with the positive sentiments of joy, playfulness and eagerness. And it said there were bulls fighting, bulls were running after the fertile cows who were in heat. What else? The calves jumped here and there. There was loud reverberation of flute playing, and everyone sang about the all auspicious deeds of Krishna and Balaram. And then there were shouts in all directions, "Let the cow loose! Don't let the cow loose! Bring the cows here! Do this quickly! Do this slowly! Bring this, take this, give this, receive this," and so on. So Yoga Maya showed that to Uddhava, and not the leafless trees, the channels of tears, and so on. So I again want to tell you, because some of you were not highly attentive, but medium attentive. Now it's time to be highly attentive. By the Brijvasis, by their strong feelings of separation, they're pulled from the Prakata level to the Aprakata level, that is, from the manifest to the unmanifest level. But by Krishna's mercy, Uddhava could see this Aprakat Vrindavan. And then from there he came to the crying cowherd boys, the crying Nanda and Yashoda, and the crying gopis, and solaced them. The reason why I quote this and talk about this is because a little while ago I heard a devotee speak to me who had a life-threatening accident. He was in a car accident and his neck broke here at the root of the neck. I won't do this for you, because then I will not be able to continue to speak. But imagine I would now break my neck here out of lamentation. So he was trapped in the car, and when he came to consciousness, the first thing he said to himself is, "I need to focus my mind on breathing so that I can survive." His head was somewhere there. So he... started to breathe. But then he thought, this is not enough. I will go in my mind on Braj Mandal Parikrama. And when he did this, he had done a Braj Mandal Parikrama only, I think, 12 months. Yes, 9 months before this happened. He went in his mind on Braj Mandal Parikrama to not panic. You know, when you are in a car which can burst any moment into flames, and when you are don't know if you will survive because just now your neck has broken, then you need to do something with your mind to not panic and make things worse. So finally someone came, a devotee came and said, hey, Radha Raman, are you with us still? And he answered, psht, I'm on Braj Mandal Parikrama. So this is a very good first class experience of a devotee who turned to Krishna in a time of need with his mind, and who in this way became free from the pains of a life-threatening accident. He came to this state of being protected because of attaching his mind to Krishna. And this devotee also survived the accident. He is healthy and hearty and amongst us by the indescribable arrangement of Krishna. I am 100% convinced, my dear devotee, that when you learn the simple technique to turn to Krishna with eagerness, especially during your practices, chanting and so on, Krishna will make an arrangement by his yoga maya energy which pulls you towards him so that you will be with him very soon and very quickly. Let me summarize the class for you. The class was about the mode of passion, and we said that ultimate in reality the mind is in sattva, but when it attaches itself to the intelligence and to the material world through the process of sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting and rejecting, at that time the mind becomes filled with passion and attached to the temporary. It's like becoming attached to smoke and feeling, wow, I like this, wow, I fear this, and so on. Then I wanted to say to you that it's very important, if you wait for Krishna, to either develop a strong sense of humility, that Krishna has not come because I'm still very attached like that, and this humility will bring Krishna quickly to you, or you should see that you develop a good eagerness for Krishna. Lolyam, the only prize to get Lord Krishna. I was telling you about the road of tears, which is a highway, and in Germany we say Autobahn, Autobahn, huh? Autobahn, the royal highway on which Krishna comes, the road of your eagerness, the robe of your lolyam. This is very, very, very important. When you feel that you don't have this road, and that you don't have any materials in your possession to build this road, then go into the association of devotees, real devotees of Krishna, who call out for Krishna in eagerness. Once His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who said he opened a crying school. His temple was a crying school where devotees would learn this eagerness. Huh? He was asked in Africa, Maharaj, how to develop eagerness? And he gave an example to answer this question. He said, you must go amongst the devotees who have this. And he gave the example, which is very much there in Orissa. I also saw it once. When people cry because of the death of a dear relative, other people join these people. You know, they may pass by on the road and see people crying, and they may think, well, what is going on? And they go to the people who cry. And as the people cry, in the village, the newcomers will also start to cry. I know this whenever one of our older devotees, dear devotees leaves. The last one was Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, which we know of. Nowadays it happens quite too frequently, too many. But there will be a time when more will go. Old age time is also there. No one stays here. Everyone has to leave. So we see then there is a meeting which is held, and then at one stage when one person starts to cry genuinely, it comes over him, then the others also start to cry, we have seen. And even newcomers to the assembly will go, they may not know what and why, but it comes to them. So this royal highway construction can come to you when you are in the proper association. Then you will also, it just comes to you. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. Last example, in my life, I was chanting in Puchari one day, and I was very dry. It was the noon period, which is for those who chant the whole day. This is the challenge, really. It's the 12 o'clock. Your body is tired. The sun is also there. Hot, sweaty. Krishna, Krishna. The danger is one becomes dry. No ruchi. So at that time, all of a sudden, I heard someone from one cottage. There was one cottage, one sincere sadaka was there, and sang such a heart rendering song, Krishna Radhe, something. And I was really moved, you know, the cars were going faster, ching, 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 out of rhythm. The sincere sadaka didn't care. Krishna, Krishna, oh. Then I was there. When is the noon sun going down, please? Krishna, Krishna. Hare, hare. All of I heard this. Oops. Oh. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, hare. Oh. Oh, very good, very good. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Then, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Again, it was possible to continue. This is very important. Good association is infecting our strings, our dead heart strings, resonating them. Hare Krishna, don't be in the mode of passion, although you are a human being. And don't stock your belly with too many eatables, because then you will be in tamas and rajas, although you are a human being. And although you are Hare Krishna Prasadam lover, be careful. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions? What happened to the shoes? They are at this stage still missing. If you find them, some shoes crying. Where is Sashinandan Swami? Please bring them to me. They are not here. Someone took them It's all right. Let the new owner become happy with them. I want something else than shoes. Hare Krishna. First of all, very happy to see you, and to see you in your constitutional position. Throwing flowers gives great joy to our heart. Hare Krishna. Should we? How will we hear you? Will you be loud enough? Mic is available. So let us hear Aindra Prabhu.
I had one curiosity.
Please.
And then after that curiosity is expressed with the hopes that you'll be able to, comment on my curiosity. But then I have a small point that maybe we can discuss.
Please.
The curiosity is that in the verse it says that the human being is of one species. But we know that there's 400,000 species of human beings. So why is it that 400,000 species of human beings
are one?
Is becoming now one.
The Sanskrit here is Eka Vidha, and one species. I can only explain it with an understanding that it's a category, human being. 400,000 fit all in one bus. That is the human form of life. It's a bigger category than which is usually made, where we make this human species and so on. And most properly, it's one category because they're characteristic in whatever species they are is the same. They like to stock their bellies with food, and they are unduly moved by the mode of passion. This is the only way I can explain it.
Species in this sense would mean a type of living entity.
Yes, humans.
In other words, there's aquatics, there's birds.
Yes.
Unmoving living entities.
Like that. That's the only way I can understand it.
That seems reasonable.
What is your... We are more interested in what you have to say to enlighten us. I mean...
Thing I'm remembering in terms of the discussion concerning developing eagerness.
Mm-hmm.
You were using the term loyam, and I appreciate the point that you're making about taking advanced association in order to develop a similar bhav, because that's what we're really talking about is the bhav. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting statement concerning loyam lalasamayi. He says that there's a stage called Sarup Siddhi. And from this stage of Sarup Siddhi, when one has a relatively clear understanding of his constitutional position in one of the five rasas found in Braja, that from that stage of Sarup Siddhi, when one again and again feelingly cries and cries to Krishna to be reinstated in that constitutional relationship in his lilas, in other words, to go from Sarup Siddhi to Vastu Siddhi.
Mm-hmm.
When the crying or the eagerness to attain what one already perceives to be his eternal constitutional relationship on the basis of his own perfected stima, that is called loya,
mm-hmm.
lava samayi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the sadhakas who have not yet attained the the platform of Swarup City, it appears from that statement that they are not actually entitled to Lolyam, but rather they're entitled to Lopa. Mm-hmm. In other words, they can have the greed to get that Lolyam by associating with elevated Vaishnavas who are, you know, experiencing their sadhya realization of their Rajasarup. That's just an idea.
No, it's really is very correct. Technically speaking, yes, it is very correct.
By way of encouraging us, I appreciate it that we should also try for it.
Yeah.
We should go in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, and shoot for the rhinoceros, at least we'll maybe get a few squirrels.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there other questions, or should we say time is also there? Maybe one last question by Jamashtami. Could we please get some fast runner can deliver the microphone to him? Please, Prabhu. Just now coming. Good. Krishna, Krishna.
Maharsha, following the line of Indra's points, at our neophyte level, how should this eagerness actually be expressed in a practical way in our sadhana? We don't have that intimate relationship with Krishna where suffering is a result of that. I mean, how can you put it in a nice sutra form?
Yeah.
How we can express this?
Indra Prabhu made a very relevant point that the slolyam, where you intensely desire this constitutional position, presupposes that you have already an inkling of what that is. What is your original constitutional position in relationship to Krishna? And so this is, in very strict philosophical terms, what happens in lolyam. The other thing is the eagerness is a lobha or greed. Yes, now Jamashtami wishes to know, well, how can we develop that appropriate eagerness, the desire to have it, to have Krishna consciousness in our level. Well, Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that the only prize is Krishna consciousness, and you need to, is eagerness, and you go to the Krishna seller, the devotee, to obtain this eagerness. And then you can call Krishna, then Krishna comes. Now, I believe on our level, we should, yes, be very intensely desiring it. This greed is a good word for this. Like, you know, if someone eats a rasgulla and he has a good time, this is an example, you also want to eat a rasgulla. He goes like, oh, very good. And you give me your rasgulla. You have a greed. It comes like this. So when you see devotees who are good devotees, then you think, I don't want to be on the smoky platform any longer. I want to be a real devotee. Now, this is said in the scriptures, this mood will awaken into in you by seeing also the examples of devotees, like Haridas Thakur. If you see his example in chanting, if you have Rupa Goswami's biography, and so on, if you hear this, or if you hear about Parikshit Maharaj, who just sat on the bank of the Gangas and said, "Let whatever come, come. I want to just hear about Krishna." In other words, appropriate way to get and express it is to read in the scriptures. And as you read in the scriptures regularly, and this is called the Shrutekshita path, the path of hearing, Prabhupada makes this point, your Swarup City will become revealed. Actually, it's very interesting that there is such a purport which we studied during the Govardhan retreat. It will become revealed to you, because the power of the scriptures, when you hear them, is that they destroy this ignorance which manifests in material miseries and also in so-called material pleasures. When you read the scriptures regularly, you will find how this ignorance gets destroyed. You will find how you get a different perspective, and Bhagavatam says how your polluted aim of life gets exchanged with a good aim of life. And by that Shrutekshita path, yes, you get also an inkling by the mercy of the divine spiritual personalities who you are. Then you may get into the Lord, where you desire a particular service in a particular identity. Yes. So, reading in the scriptures, and we at the Govardhan retreat, if you want to know, we had a lecture series. You can order them. Now comes a little advertisement for the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. There we dedicated a good amount of time to reading and studying how we can read the scriptures in such a way the divine revelation will take place. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
You know, it's getting late, but if you'll permit me, I would like to offer a slight variation to that idea.
Join my kirtan group. Yeah.
Appreciate it. May I have the mic, please?
Mm-hmm.
Very good point about hearing, so that we can know what there is to be eager about.
Yeah.
But as most of us are not eager, and perhaps most of us really don't know how to cry for Krishna,
we will join your kirtan group, Aindra Prabhu. That will be our situation. 24-hour kirtan. When nothing works any longer, come and join the 24-hour kirtan. Then we will learn it in Aindra's private crying university. Yes.
So the idea is that if you don't know how to cry for Krishna, then you should cry because you can't cry.
Yes.
If you don't have desire, if you don't have eagerness, then you should desire to get the desire.
Yeah.
You should be eager to get the eagerness.
Yeah.
Like that.
Thank you. All right, Prabhus, I'm tempted to sit here indefinitely with all of you, but time is also there. So we have 9:30. I want to thank you very, very much. Some of us have to leave Vrindavan. We want some devotees from Persia. We wish you a very good journey. And start crying on the airplane that you leave the Vrindavan. All the best. Hare Krishna. Here also our Western guests. Nice to see you. From which country are you coming? May I know?
France.
They are from France. Oh, Palabu Fongse. India. c'est un grand soulagement. Hare Krishna. So have a very good day and by the being embraced by the dust of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Haribo.